Our Lord Jesus, as we gather to remember and to celebrate an event that changed the course of our world forever. We wouldn't be here tonight were it not for what God has done for us in his Son. You wouldn't be here tonight were it not for what he chose to do on your behalf long ago. Did you know that this night is as personal as it gets? This whole Christmas season, it really never gets more personal than this. The Christmas season, I don't know if you know this, but the U.S. Postal Service reports that there are more than 2.1 billion cards, personal cards, sent during the month of December alone. December, Christmas, is one of the most personal times of the entire year. There's something about Christmas that encourages people to stay in touch. There's something about the Christmas season that causes us to think in more personal ways about each other and about God than ever before. One little boy decided to write a personal letter to God. He said, "Dear God, I've been a really good boy this last year." And then he decided that wasn't really true, so he thought he'd start over again. He said, "Dear God, I know I haven't always done what I should have, but I've really tried to do my best." And then he realized that wasn't always the case either, so he threw it away. Now he was getting frustrated. Then he noticed on the mantle there was a beautiful manger scene, a beautiful hand-carved image of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and it gave him an idea. So he ran out of the room, came back with a towel and a shoebox, wrapped Mary in the towel, placed her in the shoebox, and then placed the shoebox in the closet. Then he sat down and began to write again. This time he said, "Dear God, if ever you want to see your mother again..." Knowing what to say to God isn't always easy. Knowing what to say to each other isn't always so clear. But when God says something to us, he wants it to be clear. And he wants it to be personal. That's exactly what happened when God sent Jesus into our world. The Bible says in many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by a son. The Christmas message is as personal as it gets. There's nothing more personal than what God has done for us in Christ. And it's personal for four basic reasons. And that's what I want us to think about tonight. Let's take them one at a time. Christmas is personal, number one, because it's designed to connect. It's designed to connect. You know what fascinates me about our world today? I mean, a lot of things fascinate me, all kinds of things. We live in a world today where there's more information at our fingertips than there was information available less than a generation prior. I mean, when I was growing up, when my wife Mary and I were having kids, it was nothing like it is today. I mean, when we needed to know something, find out whatever, we pulled out our encyclopedias and looked it up. Now, for some of you here tonight, if you don't know what those are, look up on your phone, you'll see them, all right? You need an entire bookshelf to have it all. Now you just Google it, and there it is. It's fascinating how much more we know and we now have. What's also fascinating is that with this advance in technology, ability to find and access more information than we now have more access to more relationships also with more people than has ever before been possible. I mean, when I was a kid, my friends were the kids who lived on the same block, right? They were the ones who went to school together, they went to church together, whatever. Everyone else was there, everyone else was everyone else, but they were not your friends. Well, today, you know that, you can have friends on the other side of the world. And you can have relationships with people who live in places where you've never been and whom you've never met. The whole definition of friends needs to be redefined from the days when your friends were actually friends. Do you know what else is fascinating? Almost frightening. In this world where there's more information available and accessible than ever before, and where it's now possible to have more friends in more places and have more contact with them and fast than we've ever before seen, there's also a growing number of people in our world. Individuals in this connected and friend-filled society who are feeling less connected and more defriended than ever before. Recent studies have shown that for many, there's more anxiety over losing a phone than there is over losing a friend. For many, their best friend has become their phone. And their phones are the main and primary connection they have with their best friends. Not surprising that some of the same studies have also shown that there's a longing in our society like never before for connections and communities that actually care for each other. Communities that actually care. In this increasingly more connected than ever world, there's a longing for more connections that really count. Now, don't mishear any of what we're saying. All right, I'm not going after phones or friends or technology in any way. All right, I have one myself. I have many myself. And technology, it is a gift for all of us, no question. But there's an impersonal aspect to all of this that we dare not miss. There's a not so connected element to all of this that can keep us not so connected if we're not careful. On that first Christmas, God was careful in making the connection he did when he sent his son Jesus into this world. And God was personal in doing it because he was doing it in the person of Jesus Christ. He was connecting with us so we could be connected with him. He was becoming a person with us so we could begin to see him and know him in a personal way. I came across a story of a woman who had a hard time relating to Christmas. In and out of church all her life, but for some reason it never sank in. It was never real until it began to happen. She was a single mother, working as a nurse, trying to make ends meet. Her husband had left her the year before, and he left her with a 9-year-old son and 6-year-old twin girls. Her dad had just moved to a convalescent home, and she wanted to go with him, go visit him. Didn't have the time or money, but she certainly felt the guilt. The next day at work, the Sunday before Christmas, was a total disaster. She had a confrontation with another nurse, lost composure with one of the attendants, and then one of her favorite patients in that ward passed away. And that's when it began to happen. She went home that night, picked up her kids, and they went to church. It was the annual Sunday school program. Now, there was nothing out of the ordinary about the program. The usual shepherds, you can imagine, in their makeshift robes, a manger, Mary and Joseph, and the baby. But there was something about the baby that was different, because this year, it wasn't just a doll, but an actual baby. And the actual baby in the program was doing its actual baby thing. It started out almost unnoticed, almost comical. At first, it raised its hand and started playing with Mary's nose. Then it started to squirm, and soon it began to cry. And not a gentle cry, but an all-out scream. At that point, no one could hear the boy reading from the podium, and hardly anyone was watching when the wise men walked in. Finally, one of the teachers ran in from the side, carried the baby off stage just as the congregation was about to begin singing Silent Night. And that's when it hit. That's when it hit. For some reason, it had never sunk in, but that night it did. It had never seemed real, but all of a sudden it was. Because it wasn't just a story. It was a real baby. God came into this world. Jesus was one of us. And for the first time in her life, she began to understand. Like Father, like Son. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." That's what was happening on that first Christmas. God became human so he could relate to us. God took on our flesh so we could relate to him. It's a personal message at Christmas, as personal as it gets, because it's a message designed to connect. It's also a message we need to hear. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of messages I don't want to hear, don't need to hear. I started thinking the other day about all the different messages there are in our world today. Email, the telephone, answering machines, newspapers, magazines, there's voicemail, text messaging, tweeting, Instagram, I mean, on it goes. Thankfully, we don't have to listen to all of them. Not every message you receive is something you want to hear. But the message God sends at Christmas is one you need to hear. Remember what the angel said? He said, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, maybe there are some of you here tonight thinking, why do I need a Savior? What is it about Christmas that I really need in my life? Why do I need someone in my life who can save? I'll tell you why. Because your life does not measure up to what God requires and asks of you. And neither does mine. I mean, my life doesn't even come close to what God asks, and it never will. A perfect God, and none of us are perfect. The Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Now, our world today doesn't want to hear that, but it's true. Our world today is in denial of its deepest need, but denying the truth doesn't make the truth any less real. In fact, I'm starting to think that we're getting it all turned around, even in the church. This whole idea, God loves us and he cares about us and he accepts us as we are, I'll never forget the magic set one of my buddies got for Christmas when we were kids. We used to spend hours with that magic set. You could do tricks with cards. You could swallow fire and not get hurt. You could make a flower appear and then disappear. I tried it on my older brother. It didn't work. But do you know how it works? It's called deception. It's called distraction. You know what deception is. It's getting you to think or believe something is true when it really isn't. You know what distraction is. It's getting you to look over here when what's actually happening is over here. If you want to play a trick on someone, you need to either deceive or distract. Now, let me tell you something. Satan is a master deceiver. He doesn't want us to believe or think something is true when it isn't. He really wants us to believe it's true when it isn't. He really does. I don't need a Savior in my life. I don't need someone else to pay the price for my sins. I'm living a good life. I'm doing my best. Why do I need a Savior? Why do I need someone to take my place on a cross? You know what? If that's in your mind at all, you've been deceived. You've been distracted. You think you can find forgiveness over here, but the only place you can find it over is over here on that cross, in the person and work of Jesus Christ. In 2018, we lost one of the most influential Christian leaders our world has ever known. 6 decades on television, crusades from 1947 until his retirement in 2005, a spiritual advisor to 12 different presidents. Without question, Billy Graham was one of the greatest Christian evangelists who's ever lived, no doubt. He saw more changes in his 99 years, preached to more people than most of us will ever see or know. Do you know what he said about the problems we face in life? Do you know what he identified as the single most basic problem we face? He said, our basic problem is not a race problem. Our basic problem is not a war problem. It's not a poverty problem. It's not an immigration problem. Our basic problem is a heart problem. It's a sin problem. It's a problem only God can fix. Do you know how much God loves you? Do you know how much your life matters to him? He gave his only son, sent him to the cross, and he sent him to the cross because he did not want to lose you. Paul says when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. A God who loves you absolutely, a God who cares about what's happening in your life more than you'll ever know, but a God who accepts you as you are? My friends, Jesus didn't come to accept you. If you were acceptable, he wouldn't have had to come. He came to save you. He came to die for you. He didn't come to accept you like that. He came to give you life, so that his life, so you could have yours. Christmas is as personal as it gets. It doesn't get any more personal. It's a message designed to connect. It's a message we need to hear, and it's a message that makes a difference. The Bible says Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. It says that what happened at Christmas can make a difference. Jesus didn't come to take away your life. He came to make it better, to give you something you wouldn't otherwise have. I was reading a while back. Do you know what it's called when the sun goes down? Do you know what that's called when the sun goes down? You're walking along the beach and you watch the sun go down. Do you know what it's called? Sure you do. It's not a trick question. It's called a sunset, right? You stand there at night and you watch the sunset. Well, the truth is, and most of us know this, the sun doesn't actually set. It doesn't go anywhere. It's the earth that is moving. If we want to be technically correct, we would call it an earth set, right? But that doesn't have the same romantic feeling with your girl or your guy, right? So I'd vote for leaving it as it is. Well, actually, the American Scientific Association took a survey and found that 21% of those surveyed thought the sun actually did set, orbited around the earth, and another 9% said that they didn't know which one did what. What that means is that almost 1 out of 3 Americans is confused about what's revolving around what. Now, that might not be such a big deal when it comes to the sun and the earth, but it's a very big deal when it comes to God's Son and your life. What's revolving around what? Who is it that's in orbit around who? Just think about it, how backwards it is for so many. The approach they take, the place in their life they give to Jesus. I mean, we're living in these days in it's all about me kind of world. It's all about my life. It's about my decisions, my choices, my rights. It's all about me. Let me tell you something. It's not all about you. It's all about Jesus. It's not all about what you can gain or want or have in your life. It's what God has gained and wants and is ready to give you in and through the life he gave in his Son. What's revolving in your life around what? Who is it in your life that's in orbit around who? For many, Jesus might have a part. He might even play an important role, no doubt, but he's not central. He's not at the heart. He's on the fringes, the outside edges. That's backwards. It's not the way it's designed to work, and it doesn't. It's like the earth saying to the sun, I think I'll go off and go do this orbit thing on my own, and then I'll be free. Then I'll be able to go and do what I want. That's what so many people in this world are doing, and that's why life for them isn't working. All of the loneliness, the emptiness, the confusion about living, the fear about dying. My friends, you'll never be able to do what you want. You'll never be free until you figure out who's revolving around who. What's revolving around what? The Bible says we were created by him and for him. The truth is, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's not about my life or yours, but about his. Now, I realize this isn't politically correct, and I understand the changes. I really do. But we used to celebrate Christmas in this country. Now we celebrate the holidays. Our kids used to sing about Jesus. Now they sing about Rudolph and Santa Claus and Frosty, and it's all good. It's all good. Don't get me wrong, but it begs the question, what's revolving around what? Who's revolving around who? That's an important question for our world. It's an even more important question for your life. Jesus came into this world to give you life, an abundant life, but you'll never know what that means until you set the orbit straight. It's as personal as it gets. There's nothing more personal than what God has done for us in His Son. It's a message designed to connect. It's a message we need to hear. It's one that makes a difference, and it's one that gives us hope. Have you ever felt like you needed a word of hope? Ever felt as though the light at the end of the tunnel was growing dimmer by the day? Christmas is about hope. It's about giving us a reason to hope. There was a story in the news a while back about a mail carrier who had recently lost his wife. You know how that works. In the midst of a festive time of year, Christmas can be one of the toughest times for a lot of people. The first Christmas since a divorce, the first Christmas without a parent, the first Christmas since the loss of a loved one or a spouse. Maybe some of you here tonight are going through one of those times. The first Christmas since a major life change has taken place. The story talked about how this mail carrier couldn't control his grief. His wife had died just a few months before Christmas, and it seemed like his life would never be the same. It said one morning as he was sorting mail at the post office a few weeks before Christmas, he noticed a letter to Santa Claus that had his own return address on it. Recognizing the handwriting of that of his daughter, he opened the letter and began reading what was inside. Do you know what it said? It said, "Dear Santa, my mommy died 2 months ago, and since then my daddy has been crying every night. He says that only eternity will heal him. Please send a bit of eternity to my dad this Christmas." My friends, I don't know what the future is going to hold in your life, what the coming year might bring. I don't know what's going on in your life right now, let alone what tomorrow will be like, what's going to happen in the future. What I do know is that Jesus came to give you hope. Jesus came to give you life. And not just hope for today or hope for tomorrow, but a hope for all of your tomorrows, a hope for this life and for the next. And He did it by coming into this world, becoming one of us, dying on a cross, and rising from the dead. That's what this night is all about, a message designed to connect, a message we need to hear, a message that makes a difference, and a message that gives us hope. Whatever's happening in your life, don't miss the message of Christmas. It's as personal as it gets. A Savior for you and for me. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for the gift of Your Son who came into this world long ago so that we might come to know who You are and how much we are loved. We thank You for Jesus, who not only was willing to be born among us, take on human flesh, but who willingly took upon Himself our sin and gave His life so that we might have ours. Father, as we remember what happened on that first Christmas and of how Jesus came to save the entire world, help us to not miss the personal relationship He wants to have with each of us and the eternal connection with You and with each other that is ours only in Him, in whose name we pray. Amen.